right. How are you guys doing tonight? Good. Did you guys have a fun day? Yeah. I want to know three favorite activities of the day. Three favorite activities. Yes.
Going down the giant slide.
Going down the giant slide. Pretty awesome. Pretty tall. But glad you weren't scared. Very cool. Right up here. Favorite activity. Nice. Yes. Going to the lake, breakfast, and being here. That was a lot. One more right up here.
Eating lunch at the lake.
Oh, yes. Eating lunch at the lake. The ladies had a nice adventure meal today, so that was pretty fun. All right. And I had lots of fun today, even this afternoon, playing Cowboy Connect 4. Had lots of challengers, and I was beaten. Oh, I was beaten twice last night, and I announced those, and I was beaten this afternoon. Avery, if you could raise your hand.
Yeah.
Give her a round of applause for beating me. Great job, Avery. And I wrote the name up on the board, and she got the bounty, so that was pretty cool. So, if you want to challenge me, I will definitely be out there during free time and try to get out there for sure tomorrow, and that would be awesome. Please challenge me. Now, Steve Grills, he was in his cabin. He was listening very well to me and stuff. Oh dear! Did he was here and he? Oh no! He was here and he tried a trick with water. Oh man! He even made a little bit of mess. Okay. I am really going to have to give him a talking to this time and make sure that he stays back at his cabin, not trying any more magic. That is just not cool. Not cool. All right, I'll have to give him a talking to. But hopefully he doesn't come around and he'll listen to me. Okay? Tonight, I am going to be sharing with you a very, very important message, one of the most important messages that you will ever hear. And so it's of the utmost importance that you listen. So thinking back to last night's message about the four different soils, four different kinds of hearts that you can have, I want to go to God in prayer in just a moment, and I want to ask God to help us all have an open heart that's willing to listen and not a hard heart or a shallow heart or a distracted heart tonight. Because this is going to be very, very important to listen. All right, so let's go to God in prayer, and you can pray along with me and ask God for that help. Dear God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here and to just open up your word and share it, Lord. God, I pray for these young people here that they would have open hearts to listen closely to what you have to say tonight, that there wouldn't be any distractions, and that they would choose to change, if that's what you would have them do, and that they would trust in you and they'd have a relationship in you tonight. God, I pray that you'd give me the words to say, that you would fill me with your spirit, and that you would empty me completely of myself. And God, we love you. We just pray this in your name. Amen. All right, tonight I want to share something called the gospel, and I'm going to do that with three simple points about God, all right? Three simple points about who God is. Number one, God is holy. Can you say that with me? God is holy. God's holiness means that he is separate from all sin. All sin that there is, he is completely separate from it. Can't be in his presence. He can't tolerate it. So let's take a look at what sin really is, if he's separate from sin. Sin is breaking God's rules. Can you say that with me? Sin is breaking God's rules. Let's take a look at a few of God's rules and see how we stack up. See if we have broken these rules. First, you shall have no other gods before me. You might be thinking to yourself, oh yeah, I haven't broken that rule. I'm good. I don't have a wooden idol in my bedroom that I bow down to and that I worship every day. But it is talking about that, but it's also talking about more. You know that command is talking about anything that you prioritize above God. Anything that you make more important than God is an idol, and that you've broken that command. And I think that we've all done that. We've been guilty of breaking that rule. How about honor your father and your mother? I'm sure you guys know that we've all broken this rule, right? If you disobey even a single time, we've broken that rule. If you've had a bad attitude, even if you did obey, but you had a bad attitude, that's not honoring your father and your mother. So we've all broken that rule. Now, how about you shall not kill? You might be thinking, yeah, I haven't killed anyone. I haven't murdered anyone, so I'm good. But Jesus, he says that if you've ever had anger to the point that you've hated someone, it's the same as killing them in your heart. I know that all of us, we've gotten angry. Maybe it's at our siblings or at our friends. So we have broken that rule. What about you shall not steal? This isn't just talking about going to a bank and taking all the money, robbing the bank. It's not talking about just going into a store and seeing a candy bar and taking it. But any time that you have taken something without asking, that's stealing. You've got to ask for permission. So I know that we have all broken that rule as well. How about you shall not lie? That I know that we've all broken that rule. We all have lied before. And it's not even just big lies that hurt. I mean, it could be anything, even if you just bend the truth a little bit. Maybe you want to look cooler to your friends, so you exaggerate something that happened. That's lying as well. So all of us have broken that rule. And these are just a few of God's rules that he has. And we're guilty of them all. We are sinners because we've broken God's rules. And it's not just that we have sinned, but even when we're born with something called a sin nature. We are just inclined to sin. To illustrate that, I mean, was there ever a time that your parents sat you down and said, all right, today's the day. We're going to teach you how to lie. No, of course, your parents don't need to do that. Obviously, they wouldn't want you to lie, but we already know how to. The moment we grow up, we learn how to lie. We already know. We don't have to be taught by anyone. We're all sinners because we've broken God's rules, and that's not good for us because God is separate from sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everyone, all, the whole world, everyone who's ever lived is a sinner. And we fall short. We come short of who God is. This is a picture of the Grand Canyon. Me and my wife, Mrs. Casey, just had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon just a few weeks ago. And it's beautiful. The moment you stand on the edge and you look out, you just feel so small. It's so vast. And pictures can't even describe the magnitude of how big the Grand Canyon is. Now, I want you to think about, or imagine this with me, if you and your friend wanted to have a competition to see who could jump across the Grand Canyon. Now, you can't use anything else, just your two legs. And maybe you're a little bit more athletic than your friend. Maybe you can jump a little bit further, a little bit higher. But nothing's going to help you. It doesn't matter if you jump a little bit further. Neither of you would be able to jump across the Grand Canyon. That's kind of like how we fall short of who God is. If God was on the other side, because of our sin, we would not be able to reach him. It doesn't matter if you sin a few less times than somebody else. We are all sinners, and we fall short of God's glory. So because God is holy and we are sinners, we are separated from him. And that's not very good news. We don't want to be separated from him. God doesn't want to be separated from us, but it's because of our sin. So that's point number one, is that God is holy. Number two, God is just. Can you say that with me? God is just. God's justice means that he cannot overlook our sin. He can't see our sin and just say, I know that you've broken all my rules, but I'm going to let them slide. You're okay. just because I think that you're a good person. No, he can't overlook our sin. Our sin deserves a punishment. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus our Lord." That word wage, that means something that we deserve, something that we earn. So it's saying what we deserve for our sin is death. And that death isn't just talking about a physical death here on this earth. It's talking about eternal separation from God in a place called hell. And hell is not a fun place. It's described in the Bible as a lake of fire. But that's not the worst part about hell. The worst part about hell is the fact that you can't be with God. God doesn't want that for you, and you don't want that. You don't want to be separated from God for all of eternity. But that is the punishment that we deserve for our sin. God is a perfect judge. And a perfect judge gives a correct punishment for a crime. So I want you to imagine that someone saw that you had a lot of really nice things at your house. You had some pretty cool stuff. So that when you were gone, you left sometime, they decided that they were going to go in your house and just take a few things. So they're walking through your house and they see, ooh, that is a very nice Nintendo Switch. I will take that. Oh, a flat screen TV. Yep, that's mine. Oh, what a cute dog. Yep, that's going to be mine. Oh, and they take all of your things. And the person, he runs out of the house, but then he gets caught. And he comes before a judge, and he stands trial. Now, what if that judge were to say, I know that you committed a crime. I know that you stole all of these things, but I think you look like a nice person. I think you do pretty good. So I'm gonna let you go. You know, you don't need any punishment at all. Would that be a good judge? No, that would be a horrible judge. A good judge would say, you committed the crime and you need the punishment. You need to go to jail for what you did. And just like that, God, he wouldn't make that mistake. He's a perfect judge, and he's always right. For our sin, for breaking his rules over and over and over, and for our sin, we deserve hell. That's the correct punishment that we deserve, is to be separated from him forever. So, boys and girls, because God is just, and we are sinners, we deserve death. We deserve to go to hell. That's pretty bad news. If I were to stop this message right here, that'd be really depressing. We wouldn't have any hope at all, would we? But it doesn't end there. Number three, God is loving. Can you say that with me? God is loving. God's love means that he made a way for us to be with him. You see, he didn't want to be separated from us. He created you. He loves you, and he wants to be with you forever. But it's because of our sin that we're separated from him. So he made a way. He made a way for us to be with him. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loved the world. Every single person who's ever lived, he loves. He loves each and every one of you in this room. And so he made a way. He gave his only begotten Son, and that is Jesus. Jesus Christ is his only Son. Jesus Christ, he came to this earth as a man. Even though he is the Son of God, he is equal with God in every single way. He came to this earth to be a person. And he lived a life that was perfect. He was tempted to sin like all of us, but he never gave in. Jesus Christ never broke any of God's rules. He was perfect. But he even did some miracles, some great things. But that's not why he came. He didn't come to live a life and do some miracles. He came to give his life. He came to die. And so he was falsely accused by many people, and they put him to death for things that he didn't do. He was completely perfect. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it shows us exactly what happened. It says, "For he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, boys and girls, when he died on a cross for your sin, he took on our sin and our punishment, and he gave us his righteousness and his forgiveness. That's the only way that we could one day go to heaven, is him giving us his righteousness and him taking on our sin and the punishment that we deserve. He exchanged records. See, boys and girls, your record, what we looked at before, would say that we are guilty of sin. We're guilty of disobeying our parents. We're guilty of lying and stealing. But Christ's record, Jesus, his record would say that he's perfect, that he's sinless, and that he's accepted by God. And so on that cross, when he died for you, he exchanged those two records. He took your record and he gave his record so that we could be accepted by God and one day go to heaven. Jesus Christ exchanged his record for our record. That's the only way that we could go to heaven. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we see that it's not through things that we do. It's only through what Jesus did. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That word grace, that means that God gave you something that you don't deserve. He freely gave you this gift. And it's not of yourselves. Nothing you can do can get you to heaven. Lots of people think that. Lots of people think, if I do enough good things, I'm going to be able to make it to heaven. If my good works outweigh my bad works, I think I'll make it. Some people think, if I go to church a lot, I could go to heaven. Some people think, well, I've got a Christian family, so because of my Christian family, I should be good, right? That's not what this verse says. This verse says, it's not of yourselves. It's not of works. Nothing you can do can save you. It's only through the gift of God, and that was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming and dying for you, taking your sin and giving you his righteousness. Now you might be wondering, how do I receive this free gift then? I know God is offering it to me. I want to accept that free gift to be saved from my sin. And what we saw in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is that it's through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And faith means knowing plus trusting. You need to know that you're a sinner. You need to know that you deserve a punishment, and that's hell. But that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for your sin and take the punishment, to give you a way to go to heaven. You need to know that, but you also need to trust in that alone to save you. Nothing else. Again, not yourself, not going to church, not your family. You need to trust in Jesus alone to save you. So I'm going to illustrate what it means to trust. This is a man by the name of Charles Blondin. As you can see, he's walking on a tightrope, and that's over Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is so, so wide. It's the border between the United States and Canada. It's about a quarter mile that he was walking on a tightrope, and he was very, very high up. If he were to fall off that tightrope, he would die. But he did some incredible, incredible things walking across that tightrope. You think even just walking would be impressive, but one time he went all the way across in a sack. One time he went across on stilts. Another time he even went across on a bicycle. And the craziest one, he walked across with a stove and he cooked an omelet while he was walking across Niagara Falls. That is crazy, right? Absolutely incredible. All right, I need everyone's attention. It's pretty incredible the things that he was able to do. But one time he took a wheelbarrow and he went there and back. One time he did it blindfolded. And he would have crowds on each side, on the United States side and on the side of Canada. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that were cheering him on, saying, yeah, you're awesome, you're amazing, you're great, ooh, ah. They loved Charles Blondin. And when one time he came across on a wheelbarrow and he asked the people there, he said, do you think that I could put someone in this wheelbarrow and push them all the way across? And they've seen some crazy things, so they're like, yeah, of course you could. You could do anything. You could carry someone across the tightrope. And then he asked, all right, who wants to get in? And nobody wanted to get in that wheelbarrow. Nobody. They knew in their heads that Charles could do some great things and that he could take a person on a wheelbarrow across. They knew that. But they did not trust Charles to do it. They weren't willing to get in the wheelbarrow and put their trust in him. See, boys and girls, it's just like that. You might know that you are a sinner and that Jesus died for you, but until you get in the wheelbarrow, until you trust in that alone and nothing else, not doing good things or not going to church, you need to put your trust in Jesus alone to save you. That's the only way that you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. And you can know that for sure. So boys and girls, will you choose to have faith in Jesus Christ alone? Remember, faith is knowing and trusting Jesus Christ and what he already did for you. Nothing you can do, but only Jesus, because he died on the cross for your sins, took your sin, he gave you his righteousness. And by the way, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave 3 days later, proving that he had the power to save you. He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave, and he can save you from your sins. You just need to have faith in what he did. And boys and girls, this isn't something that you need to do over and over and over again. If you've already made this decision before to place your faith in Jesus Christ alone, you don't need to make that decision again. But if you've never made that decision, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, you need to do that. And that is how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. The only people that will be looking around are the counselors. I need every head bowed and every eye closed. If you would say, Mr. Andrew, I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I have never made this decision to trust in Christ to save me from my sin, but I would like to make that decision tonight. If that's you, I would just invite you to raise your hand. If you'd say, I've never made that decision to put my faith in Jesus Christ alone, but I would like to make that decision tonight, I'd invite you to just raise your hand. All right, and if you just raised your hand, and you would like to get that settled, you'd like to make that decision, there's going to be a little bit of time where you can go out and talk to a counselor. And that's why they're here, and they could help you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. So if that's you and you would like to make that decision tonight, I just invite you to look up at your counselor. If you raised your hand and you would like to make that decision, look up at your counselor, get up, and go out those back doors and talk to them tonight. That's something that you would like to do. You've never done that before. You've never made that decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sin. I would invite you to just go out with your counselor tonight and talk with them about this. I'll give a little bit more time. People are still moving. If you have never done that, if you've never made that decision, but you'd like to know for sure about that, and you'd like to make that decision tonight, I'd invite you to just get up out of your seat and go talk to your counselor. Remember, out these back doors, counselors. People are still moving. You still have a little bit of time if you'd like to do that and talk to a counselor about that. All right, I'll just give you a few more seconds if you would like to make that decision. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much for what you've done. The fact that even though we are sinners and we deserve to go to hell, I thank you so much for loving us and sending your son Jesus to die on the cross to save us from our sins. I pray for those boys and girls that stepped outside to talk to a counselor tonight. I pray that they would make that decision to put their faith in you, that they would know for sure that they're on their way to heaven tonight. I pray for any other boys and girls in this room that may have never made that decision. I pray that they would talk to a counselor about that and that they would get that settled this week. God, we love you and we thank you for what you've done for us. And I pray this all in your name. Amen. All right, if you guys could be respectful and quiet, there are people talking outside.